Sure, it's trade period this week, but we might just be heading into one of the most exciting drafts we've seen, stacked with AFL standard talent and no clear top 10, let alone number one. Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and on this week's show, I'll be joined by one of our draft gurus, Dan Batten, to take us through the ins and outs of this year's draft, including a few of the names you'll definitely be hearing on November 20. Here's Dan. Well, it's trade time, but once the trades are over, it's draft time. And we have two very good, very detailed draft experts here at the Herald Sun. One of them's Chris Kavanagh and the other one's Dan Batten. And Dan joins me. G'day, Dan.
I've been pulled in off the bench. Cav obviously not feeling too well today, but good to be here.
Hey, Dan, so the draft is obviously, you know, everyone is looking at it, all footy fans, all fans of 18 clubs. Who can they get with their top pick mainly? Who's the rough diamonds out there that they might be able to get with later picks and things like that? You've got the top 60, your predicted top 60, you and Chris, coming out this week. What can you see in this year's draft? Because everyone says it's really even.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's even trying to rank the top 20, top 25 is difficult. You feel like you're leaving names out constantly. And that's why we have gone out to 60. And genuinely, there could be, in the previous years, there has been less picks. There's been more sort of a 55 to 65. I wouldn't be surprised if there's closer to 70 this year. And it seems like a lot of players, particularly uncontracted players, are being left in limbo more than we've seen. Your guys like Brandon Parfitt and Mitch Hardy, for example, from Geelong, getting delisted when they were, you know, playing some good senior footy and some good VFL footy. We're seeing that more often because clubs are really wanting to get stuck into this draft. And it's the sort of draft I think that, you know, we'll look back at, you know, in a few years' time and it's pick 35, pick 40, and we go, how did they slip that far? But yeah, it's not even rough diamonds. These guys who are genuinely really talented prospects who might go in the second or third rounds.
So in previous years, we've seen, you know, players get pulled out of mature age players getting pulled out of state leagues and even country leagues in sometimes in the last couple of years. Are we also seeing they're all from junior under 18 type footy that you guys are looking at?
No, so we've actually got a few VFL guys. We've got the Fothergill Round Mitchell medalist, Sam Davidson. So that's awarded to the best young player in the VFL. So the last 17 of those have been drafted into the AFL, whether it's a rookie or, you know, national draft. So he's a medium forward out of Richmond VFL. Hadn't played VFL until this year, but he's kicked plenty of goals for the Tigers. And obviously we know how much they struggled in the AFL. They were, you know, getting pumped by 150 points some weeks in the VFL. So, yeah, he had a really promising year. Riley Bice is another one from Werribee VFL. We saw Sam Closey taken out of Werribee last year as a running defender for Gold Coast and had a huge impact on a wing there for the Suns. Riley Bice is another guy who could probably have that instant impact. He's a great ball user with his left boot. And another guy just to keep an eye on as well, who's attracted some pretty late interest, hadn't been a part of any junior programs through his 18 years. So in his 19th year, after kicking 50 goals in 13 games for Narre Warren out in the Outer East League, Sam Toner is another one to watch as well. He is 19, an exciting forward, played a few games for the Dandenong Stingrays, but he sneaks into that list as well.
Sam Toner, keep an eye on it. That's sort of like further into the draft. When we're talking top first round, who are some names that we'll be seeing in the first round?
Oh, so there's obviously the well-documented ones like your Levi Ashcrofts, Jagger Smith, Finn O'Sullivan, Harvey Langford. I think most draft followers would probably know those names. But a guy who's creeping up massively and he was at 30 in our list a couple of months ago, but he's soared since then, is Alex Tauru from the Gippsland Power, intercept defender. I think James Sisley, he's been swung forward at times as well and had a huge impact, got a massive leap, ran a pretty good 2 kilometre time trial as well at the draft combine over the weekend. And he's one that even there's talk that he could go as high as, say, a pick 3 if North Melbourne look at potentially a key position prospect there. He's only 193, but he leaps a lot higher. So he's a lot higher than that height suggests. Some other guys sort of in that top rung who've risen. Harry Armstrong's had a really strong pardon the pun, back half of the season. He's a key forward there from the Sandringham Dragons. Toby Gervalia is another one that I really like, running machine. One coach has actually dubbed him the Albino Whitfield. So,
wow.
Yeah, so can run well, uses the ball well. You just goes. I could go on and on and on. Genuinely, there's some guys who, yeah, around that, who we have around probably the 50-25 mark, just in our personal, how we rate them, who in other years could be top 10 prospects quite easily.
And I remember talking to Cav earlier in the year, we're talking about how this draft compared to others is a very midfield focused draft. Yeah. Is that still, or still, we're still seeing that, or are we looking, you know, are there key position players, are there rucks who are sort of creeping into your sort of your predictions at the top round?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the case before the championships, but then since then, a lot of other different types have emerged, and particularly clubs in that sort of 15 to 30 range. There's quite a lot of key position players because are available, because often if a club needs a key forward, they're not just going to pick, you know, if they've got, you know, a pick in the top five, they're often not going to just pick a key position player. North Melbourne may be an exception to that, considering they've had picked so many midfielders in recent years. But, you know, you look at the Whitlock twins, Cav may have mentioned them earlier in the year, Jack being a sort of a ruck forward, Matt being a key position swingman, twins there from Shepparton, who probably in that 15 to 30 bracket, Jonty Fall, a key forward. You've got even a guy like Noah Mraz, who is a key defender from Dandenong Stingrays, sat out the whole year. He was probably looking like a top 10 to 15 prospect, but because so many other players have gone ahead of him now, he could slide into the second round as well. So, yeah, there's plenty of names there, and it's why a lot of clubs are wanting to hold their picks and trade future picks instead, so that they can, you know, stockpile their list with this talent.
So, Dan, tell us when the draft is, so when footy fans can sort of start to get a sense of who's going to be wearing their jumper next year.
So the draft itself is on November 20, then November 20 and 21 rather, and then the rookie draft on the 21st on the Friday there. So another month and a bit, and obviously all the picks will be finalised and list spots and that sort of thing. I dare say that quite a lot of the players who are in limbo at the moment may not get contracts, just because they're like, okay, we could get this player at pick 50 or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, for sure. How many more times will you revise your predicted list?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, obviously this is just to clarify, this is purely how we rate the talent. I think Chris Kavanagh will be doing his full phantom draft, which is actually where they will go and
yep,
which clubs are interested in that sort of thing. But I think we maybe even extend the list out next month to a potentially 70, because, I mean, that's how many players could get picked up this year. So
it's incredible.
Chris and I had plenty of conversations even at the combine. We're like, oh, maybe we bump this guy up, maybe we chuck this guy down. And I'm sure recruiters are doing that, you know, day by day, because a lot of them met with, you know, 30 prospects over the weekend at the combine.
And obviously we've also seen in recent years that draftees, 18-year-olds, more so than in years gone by, are round one ready in their first year. So we could be seeing anywhere up to 30 or more of these guys running around round one in 2025, which is really exciting in itself.
Yeah, that's right. And as you say, the midfielder guys at the top ends, obviously we know it's probably a bit easier for these midfielders to debut than a slight key position player. You know, Levi Ashcroft, Jagger Smith, Finn O'Sullivan, Harvey Langford, Sid Draper, Murphy Reid, Josh Smiley, Leo Lombard, like these guys, they're all sort of midfielders. They can probably push forward. I'd expect, you know, all of them like are definitely a big chance of playing round one.
Very exciting prospect. Dan, we're going to take a break because the combine was on the weekend. Draft combine obviously is all the testing that the AFL does for the clubs. We'll have a chat about that after the break.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, I'm joined by Dan Batten, who is taking us through some of the very exciting draft prospects with the draft coming up in later in November. So we're about 6 weeks away, so you can really nail down who you want your club to pick. But on the weekend, in and around Melbourne, was the National Draft Combine, Dan. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so pretty much prospects from across the country. It was about 67 at the National Combine, the further 60 or so at the State Combine. So the National Combine, usually it's an indication of that probably three or four clubs are interested in you, because a lot of them go through club interviews, they go through that national testing. And so they're doing fitness testing, everything from a 20-minute sprint, 2 kilometre time trial, you know, vertical leap, that sort of stuff. And also doing club interviews and also doing some media interviews as well. So we'll have plenty of interviews, myself and Cav, of some of the top prospects and even some of the guys a bit later back with some good stories. So, yeah, that all happened over the weekend.
And so what sort of stuff do they test for, and who were some of the better performers?
Yeah, so just looking at some of the big names who we rattled off before. So Gold Coast Academy prospect Leo Lombard showed his real power and speed there, with came first in the agility test and second in the 20-minute sprint. Finn O'Sullivan, he's been injured for most of the year, just been really unlucky with like a broken thumb, and then he had some broken fingers. And he was second in the running vertical. He's always had a really good leap, and he shows that with his marking ability. And eighth in the agility test. He's great in traffic as well, which is why he's being touted as a potential number one pick. WA midfielder Bo Allen, he's 190 centimetres and also finished fourth in the agility, fourth in the standing vertical, and third in the running vertical. And then you've got Bendigo Pioneers, Toby Trevaglia, sort of a half-back wing midfielder, you know, almost a bit of a Will Day sort of type, finished second in the 2K time trial. And then obviously Alex Tauru, who we mentioned before, won the running vertical with a 94 centimetre jump, which is that's pretty good going.
Yeah, that's a good jump. And, yeah. And obviously these tests, you know, that it's not gameplay, but they're tailored to show how players can, you know, move their bodies in a game sense, aren't they?
That's right. Like, and you know, some of these guys, like a Finn O'Sullivan in particular, who hasn't played a lot and maybe had a bit of time to train for this. Even a guy like Noah Meraz, for instance, key defender who sat out pretty much the whole year. You know, I spoke to him at the combine. He worked his backside off to get back, and you know, clubs love that, like, you know, because it's easier to just sit out the combine. But he, you know, worked hard. Got like a 6.35 as a 199 centimetre key defender in the 2K. That sort of stuff impresses clubs. But a lot of clubs do just they have the GPS data. They know, they've watched these guys inside and out for the last 4 or 5 years. So most of the time it's not really too much of a surprise to them, these athletic traits. But often, particularly later in the draft, if a club's like, we need some speed, like we're looking more specifically at list needs or at a specific trait, you know, a really strong run or a 20-minute sprint or whatever can help get a kid drafted.
And just one last question, Dan. When it comes down to November the 20th, when the draft is on, is it pretty well sort of locked in, you know, that top? Do every club have the same ideas that it's going to be the same?
Sort of order.
Yeah, order of first-round picks? Or do you think there are some who are sort of looking to, you know, pull a rabbit out of a hat or pull someone in that other clubs probably haven't been looking at more closely?
No, it's a great question. I think this year, more than others, we will see different draft orders for different clubs. You'd say that probably most clubs are looking at at that number one sort of range, a Levi Ashcroft, Jagger Smith, Finn O'Sullivan, Harvey Langford, Sam Lawler as well, another who I didn't mention before, in that really top bracket, that top echelon. But at the same time, it's not as clear cut as in previous years, and particularly in that mid range of 10 to 35, we'll see a lot of differences of opinion. And clubs may be more willing to pick on needs than purely on talent, but they may rate, you know, the guy that someone else has at 35 as the 10th best. And we've seen GWS in particular. They love a rogue selection. They picked Lekalier, I think, 4 or 5 years ago as a 21-year-old at pick 15. So we'll definitely see some surprises. And yeah, I guess to answer your question, it's going to be a bit of a moving feast there, particularly in that sort of late first round to second or third round.
It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping Melbourne can use pick 5 for a...
What do the D's need?
A Marcus Bontempelli. Well, they need a key position forward, don't they?
Yeah.
But you know, they probably will pick... Why wouldn't you pick one of those supreme midfield talents?
Especially
that
Clayton
through.
Oliver and Christian Petrarca, his days are numbered.
Yeah. Anyway, it's always exciting at this time of year, Dan. Have a fun next 6 weeks and you'll have a few grey hairs, I'm sure, by the end of it. Thanks for your time.
I already do, so thanks for having me on.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy podcast. I'm Andy Belez, and my thanks to Dan Batten for joining me today. As discussed in the episode, keep an eye out for Chris Kavanagh and Dan's massive top 60 draft prospects piece, which will be online Wednesday. All the trade news through the week, including the Daily Live blog, all the news out of week 7 of the AFLW season, and plenty more. I'll catch you next time.